from PRX.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, it's time, it's somewhere on the outer edges of space, but also on the inner edges of space is a place where kindness comes in abundance and it distracts you with lulls and dulls. And that's it, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. And tonight's episode was also made possible with the hard work of the legend, Carl W., who edited this episode. Chris Posey-Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, whose remastered music is now underlying the show. Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. And listeners have a Facebook group, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, NODS. And I want to thank the Nodderies over there, Summer and Sarah, Lauren, Lida, and Julie and Jennifer. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Once again, I want to say welcome to all my friends, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary. Are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it the bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do, because I'm so glad you're here, I'm going to try to create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical feelings, emotional feelings, also called, things you're feeling, with your body, anything, that kind of stuff, word mumble, marbles in your mouth. That's what I have right now. I don't know if I've ever said that on the podcast. I think I got a case of marble mouth. And actually, I made a mistake on a podcast episode. Someone from Syracuse called me to test. They said, you were calling it Burn Dairy. It's Marble Farms. So I stand corrected. And karma got me back when I called Marble Farms Burn Dairy. Those are two different dairy and ice cream places in Syracuse, New York, where I grew up. And now, I think I'm cured of the marble mouth now for the next 25 seconds. But I want to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's some of the stuff I listed or something, travel, noise, whatever it is. I'd like to take your mind off of that. And what the safe kit place consists of is basically kind of a bedtime story. I mean, tonight will be a take on a bedtime story. What I'm going to do, I'll send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Slow, pointless meanders that, circle, they say, I don't know how the river's going to go anywhere if it's going in a, and I say, well, neither do I. Said probably a whirlpool or something, because it's, it is circling, it does circle within itself. And all that, so if you're new here, here's the things. I'm glad you're here. As I said, I say that a lot because I am, because I've been there sleepless in the deep, dark night. And here's the deal. You don't really have to listen to me. I'll be here. I'm your boyfriend. I'm going to try to put you at ease. I'm going to try to gain the kind of trust I'm going to try to gain from you is that you can trust me enough not to listen to me. Like, how's that sound? You say, do I have to sign anything, Scoots? No. There's no signing. There's no pressure. This is the only sleep podcast where you're under no pressure to fall asleep. And one of the few podcasts where you're also under no pressure to listen to it. It is like this sleep stuff. We all know it. And I was just talking on the phone to my dad about it. We were talking about life, L-I-F-E, yeah. Not the serial, the existence thing. You know, about how paradoxical it can be. And sometimes that's a good thing. And sleep is a very paradoxical thing. In this podcast, it's a contradiction within a paradox or whatever. You don't have to listen to it. And you don't need to fall asleep. And I want to win your trust by losing it in some sense. You say, well, I don't need to pay you. I trust you so much, I'm not going to pay you any mind. And I say, that's perfect. And if you're new here, it doesn't need to make any sense yet. If you stick around, it'll make sense soon enough. But basically, tonight I'm going to talk about an episode of, like here's the structure of the show. We did the business stuff. That's what pays the bills and keeps the lights on and keeps the podcast going. I mean, this will blow your mind if you're new. It takes an incredible amount of work to put something like this together. Also, ideally, is counterintuitive. But we took care of all that. Then there's this long intro, which we're like a third of the way into, I think. Let me look at the time. Yeah, almost exactly, a little bit over a third of the way into. So we do a long intro, which you like for new people, it introduces you. For regulars, you say, okay, that's a... It's familiar, but every intro is a little bit different where I try to make a metaphor and describe what the podcast is. And so far, 400 and, you know, nearing 500 episodes, I don't know if I've quite accomplished that. And then we'll talk about Star Trek, an episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation, and a lulling, soothing way. And the one we're going to be talking about tonight is Remember Me. And actually, Dr. Crusher had something that she said here. I think I could tell. She, in the middle of the episode, she says, it's not a delusion. It's not a dream. There's a physical, measurable phenomenon at work here. Perhaps you could help me to identify it. And I said, was she talking about sleep? It's not a delusion. But it's not a dream. But this podcast ideally has a little bit of both of those, because obviously I got to be a little bit delusional, right? And in some sense, I don't know if it's delusion, but you definitely have to take a leap of faith to listen to this podcast. That's why I always welcome skeptics with open arms, because why wouldn't you be skeptical about a sleep podcast for grownups? But she said, it's not a delusion. It's not a dream. There's a physical, measurable phenomenon at work here. And in the episode, that has some gravity or some gravitas. If I knew what gravitas meant, I'd say maybe it had some gravitas. Excellent, unbelievable episode with Dr. Crusher. And during the day, you probably want to watch it at some point. Tonight you say, well, it was a little bit like a delusion in a dream. I don't know, is there a physical, this podcast, I don't know if there needs to be a physical, measurable something to it. Yeah, but this, you know, phenomenon, you know, because you can you measure delusion? Because if you could, I don't have a lot of world records. In fact, I have zero. But if you were measuring, you say, what's the world record for a stack of delusion within one's brain? Or, okay, you see, hey, this does happen when I call Guinness, you know, the world record hotline. Well, luckily, someone rerouted it to someone that I pay. It's still 1-900. Is it still 1-900 number? It's still getting billed for this 1-900 Guinness World Records. But I call up and I say, okay, how about number of synapses involved in a delusion? I think I got that one. They say, well, how many? I say, all my synapses. How many synapses does a human brain have? And they say, sir, we're not sure. You know what you, are you sure that you have synapses in your brain? I say, well, I don't know. They're all occupied, you know, maintaining my delusions. And then I heard the pencils, and I said, why is your pencil moving? And they said, well, because you said, at first you called about one delusion, and then you said delusion. So, and I said, well, who qualifies then? And they said, who's that person you consider your nemesis? And I said, well, which one, you know, I said, which do, I said, I have a lot of nemesis, you know. But, you know, I guess my delusion can be measured in there's 400 and, you know, some, but the whole idea of this podcast is to put you at ease. I don't know. I guess I'm having trouble because Dr. Crusher is so well spoken. I don't know, but yeah, like I said, I guess I had it, you know, this podcast is not a delusion and it's not a dream. It's dreamlike. It's not a dream. But it should enable dreaming and put your delusions at ease, because that's one thing, I guess, that is true when you lie down. For some of us, for other people, it might be different. But for me, you know, I start getting hammered by those. They say, well, why were you so delusional? You're really delusional today when you're in line at the bank. What do you mean, expecting them? Well, you were worried they wouldn't let you make a withdrawal. And then you were worried, you know, then you were, and I say, okay, great. Well, I don't need to talk about my, I say, wait a second, I wasn't in a bank today. It's, oh, that's right. You didn't go to the bank today. Whoa, boy, you were supposed to. You say, really? I don't know. What are you talking? I'm just trying to go to bed. I don't know what this bank is you're talking about. I just went, well, when you were in line at the bank, why don't you have any deposit slips? Well, I don't have anything to deposit. I don't deposit anything. I don't, what do you, with deposit slips? I know they still have those, but I don't go to the bank. Wait. What is this banking part of my brain? And you say, where's the delusion start and where does it end? But mostly, why? I just want to go to sleep. I got a busy day tomorrow. And, you know, this spike is, like, I guess, like, that's what I like to try to do. I like to give you the lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones and distract you while you cross over that threshold from wake to sleep, that mysterious threshold that ideally, you know, at some point, I go from barely making sense, you know, right now to be, at some point you say, well, that just doesn't matter. It like Scoots is just talking and it doesn't matter if you made any sense. It doesn't matter if I listen. Yeah, but also it doesn't matter if you can't fall asleep, I'll be here to keep you company. Because that's the other thing. When I was sleepless as a young kid, I couldn't fall asleep and I would listen to the radio for a companion. For a voice, for a connection, to make me feel less alone. And if I can do that for you, or if my mild humor attempts could say, well, like that, you say, not bad. I don't know. That was a little strong. That was the strongest not bad I've ever given. You know, but if you can say, wow, I can picture Beverly Crusher, Dr. Beverly Crusher. You're right. Sorry. Protocol brain just kicked on. Dr. Crusher. Okay, I'm not on first name basis with Dr. Crusher. That's good to know. What about Wes? Can I call him Wes or Wesley? Ensign Crusher. Okay, protocol brain. One more question. Then I got to get back to. So am I actually a member of Starfleet? No. But I still have to follow protocol. Well, darn. Sure, I can't call him Wes. What season? Isn't there one or two? Couldn't I call him Wes? Never. My application was rejected. Which one? The one for Starfleet or the application to call Wesley Wes? Ensign Crusher. Excuse me. Okay, let me get back to my podcast. Okay, this is, what can I tell my, can I have my audience call me anything? No, yeah. I should talk to the witty part of my brain. Actually, I don't have, believe it or not, all those synapses are occupied trying to go for a Guinness World Record or for a delusion. No, not intent. Believe it or not, my brain is going for the Guinness Record, Guinness Book World, whatever it's called, for delusion unintentionally. Did you believe that? Sounds delusional. What are you? You're a pun master. Protocols and puns. Is that what you're, is on your desk? I'll tell you what, next time I'm at a theme park, I'll have that made up for you. Protocols and puns. Wesley, oh, you're Ensign, you're not Ensign Crusher. Okay, anyway, I got mixed up. Sorry, folks, I'm back. Just talking to some part of my brain about the protocol. Whatever it wasn't, at least that part of my brain was easier to deal with than C-3PO. Holy moly, I don't think that would be a lot of work. Anyway, I'm glad you're here. If you're new, give this podcast a few tries. If it's definitely not for you, you may have already stopped listening. But this is nothing aggressive. It's an option. I really hope I can help you fall asleep because I've had trouble sleeping. And, you know, that's all I can say. I'm glad you're here. I appreciate your time. And not only do I hope, I yearn to help you fall asleep, all right? Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Hey, everybody. I wanted to, just before we get to the Star Trek part, I wanted to thank some people who have helped me out with getting this thing off the ground. The Big Goodbye episode was recommended by Summer. With an E, Summer with an E, who's actually working on a short form documentary about the show, and she had suggested The Big Goodbye. Then the mystery bar, Jonathan Mann, suggested the episode about justice. I don't know if that was because of the outfits or not. I didn't want to ask him, but I think it was just because of the content only. That was suggested by Jonathan Mann. And then our good friend Faye of Ahab's Wife fame suggested The Royale, which I always call The Palace for some reason. So shout out to Faye and shout out to the Silvertone. Then our lovely friends over at The Spoilist, who make First Contact, Next Generation intro cast, they suggested the Watchers episode, so that was the Watchers episode. And then Christine M., a good friend who wrote about the podcast a while back, a really, really kind supporter of the show, had suggested the Remember Me episode, which you're about to be listening to, which I guess I didn't like. And then when you hear the content about this episode, you say, oh, yeah, this is a really powerful episode to me about positive mental health of Dr. Crusher. So I want to thank everybody who's helped out with the great ideas, and I got a couple more coming up from some great folks. Thanks, and let's keep it moving. All right, here we are at sleepwithmepodcast.com. Why did I say that? Sleep With Me, Star Trek Central. I'm getting command of the situation, and I got my transcripts up here. I get the episode on my old iPhone 4S. I actually have tested out watching them on Amazon and on, what's the other one, Netflix. The nice thing if you're doing podcasting is that you can download the episodes onto your Amazon. And the episode is rolling. The lights aren't bright enough for me to read, so I got to pause it 1 second. All right, the lights are on now. Season 4, Episode 5, Remember Me. And oh boy, was this is a good episode. I really loved this episode. It is a bit Beverly Crusher extraordinaire, this episode. So if you're a fan of Beverly Crusher, Dr. Beverly Crusher, check your chief medical officer's log and get over here because you got to watch this episode. And that's what it opens with, chief medical officer's log. And it starts out, I think the audio was muted, but maybe I'm hearing things. I'm hearing Bill Irwin in my brain. But it starts out with some wonderful, I don't know if those are painted, like I don't know anything about visual effects. My brother's in the visual effects business, but I'm not. I'm in the suspension of disbelief business, you know, just for real. And that's my hobby too. And my lifestyle, my belief system. My belief system is suspension of disbelief, I think. Maybe not. Maybe it's a you're right, brain. Hypervigilance is my belief system. Anyway, good thing I'm hypervigilant about this episode because it starts out with these beautiful shots of the space station or Starbase. Again, I have not heard from Starfleet, so I don't know if I'll be accepted. But Dr. Crusher is meeting her old friend. I put from where, but it ends up she talks about it later. But he's because he's much older than her. That's why I say, like I said, from where are they friends? Because she, like, probably 20 year, no offense to Bill Irwin, he's passed anyway. You know, I don't know, like, I just think there's a big age difference. And they're just, it's platonic friendship. Just, you know, cut your snickering. But they have a very thematic, very good, they say, geez, great to see you. And Dr. Crusher, his name's Dalen Quince or something. Dalen Quace, right? You're right. And he says, "Sorry about that you lost your wife. He's just retired, I believe." And she says, "Is that why you retired?" And he says, "Yeah, it was a lifetime together, doing all the things we'd ever dreamed, you know. But I don't know if I want to work in the same office and live in the same place anymore." And then Crusher kind of talks about her husband. She says, we just had a couple of years together. But she goes, this is a hard one to say on this podcast, but it's very important for the theme of the episode. She says, it's hard to, when you realize someone you love is lost forever. And it's something, let me tell just, I don't want to front load this, but holy, if this episode represents the Beverly Crusher subconscious, What a healthy mind this person has, this character has. Her internal support systems and her belief in herself is just very, very, very impressive this episode. And she even has this healthy attitude about, you know, loss. I don't know. I guess this will forever change how I view Dr. Crusher. Because I'm looking at this Star Trek with new eyes. And maybe, if I told you how many times I watched this episode, you'd probably, like, that would, you know, I wouldn't be making podcasts anymore. But a couple times I had it on in the bank, really. I just want to see how many times, I guess this is testing, how many times can I watch an episode of Star Trek? And maybe you'll find out when you see that Scoots hasn't put out an episode in 3 weeks. And I say, he hasn't. What's his name? Sumari Crace? What's his name? Dalen Quace says, Sumari Roll. Sorry, that's one of my favorite football player names. Former football player, I believe. He says, well, you know what the worst part about getting old is? You know, so many people are gone. So this continues the theme, even though it got interrupted by me making a tangential point. So many the people in your life are gone. You realize you didn't take the time to appreciate them while you could. And then he says, sorry about the baggage. She's holding baggage. And he says, usually I travel light. And then this will be a little bit of a spoiler, too. Interesting relation. Oh, I was also interested in, what is Star Command? What is it called? Is that what they're called? Anyway, the Federation, that's what they're called. What is their view on relationships? I know you can live, you know, there's families on the Enterprise. It sounds like Quace, he worked with his wife and they lived together, obviously. I just would like to know how they, you know, what their EAP situation is, you know, to make sure they're, you know, because they seem to be doing a great job of managing all that. And here in our world, it doesn't seem, the future looks great from where I'm sitting. Okay, interesting. You realize you didn't take the time to appreciate him. Then we get another nice base, Starbase shot. And then Geordi. Now I try to avoid, there's a lot of great Star Trek podcasts I have not listened to, and tons of great writing about it. And I try not to read it because I don't want to, I'm a paranoid, loon. So. But I accidentally saw some people talking about Geordi in a non-positive way. And again, I don't know if that this is why I avoid reading stuff, because then Jordy just seemed very testy. He was getting on my nerves. He's like, he says, Wes, time up. And Wesley's trying to do an experiment. It's just a few more minutes. And then Dr. Crusher goes to see Wes, obviously, because she just had this moment with her friend, and she wants to go see her son that she loves. And Wes is really focused on this. Wesley Crusher is focused on this experiment. And she says, don't mind me, Wes. I'll just be standing here behind you with my arms crossed, breathing and staring at your back while you do that experiment. Yeah, then I guess another sign of healthiness between the crew, like Jordy says, Wesley, like hurry up. And then there's like this pulse of light, and then Wes is breathing. I don't know, that must have been important because I noted it. And they say, geez, what happened? And then like he says, they both are like, no idea. And then I think Jordy's like, Jesus, not supposed to. And then Riker calls, he says, prepare for umbilical disconnect. And they say, well, Jesus, that was a weird flashlight. And then Wes starts to walk off, and then he kind of looks back as if something is off. Like, because there is something off. Dun, dun, dun. Then at 3:40, 3 minutes and 40 seconds, is another great shot of the starbase. I don't know when the, I guess the opening's down there. Then Beverly tries to get into Dalen Quayce's room, you know, to say hi. And I lost my spot. But there's no sign. The door's she's ringing the doorbell, I guess, and there's no sign of Dalen in the computer. She says, computer, current location of Dalen Quayce. And the computer, who gets a lot of airtime this episode, says, no one by that name here. Also, I didn't have time to look this up, but there's a painting behind her. It was very interesting. It had like a planet and a shielded planet, or a planet like something with a sun. So anybody Super Trek fans, let me know what that is. And also, as you'll see in the facts portion of the show, I had some trouble. Then it opens. Then we have Dr. Crusher in Worf rings the doorbell. I was not aware of this. Oh, like Worf, you know how I feel about Worf. I love Worf. He's just so honestly grouchy, like in a non-passive aggressive way. Irritable, I guess, but not like a mean irritability. Because she says, geez, Worf, I can't find my friend Dalen Quayce. I requested quarters for him. He goes, I was not aware of this passenger. And he says, please proceed, or something. I think Dr. Rush said, oh, Picard approved it. And she said, geez, I can't find him. And then Worf says, where's Dalen, computer, where's Dalen Quayce? And the computer's like, nope. And then Worf glares. He says, why would his belongings be missing? Then we report into Captain Picard. Now, he has these pink things in his hand I've attempted to identify. It looked like, at first I noted slide rule, ? And I can't, you know, it was on a time limitation. So I thought they were like these pads, P-A-D-S's. But that I don't think that's correct. But everybody's in the commander's, Jean-Luc's office, and Worf and Data are reporting. Geez, we can't find this Data. Dalen Quayce isn't on board. Data says, geez, there's no, there's only the regular complement on board, no one else on board. And that concerns Dr. Crusher. And they're like, well, could he have returned to base? And they're like, check that out. You know, call command. Crusher's worried, but then she goes to leave. He says, one moment, doctor. And she says, I'm not sure if you're aware of the procedure, you know, that you're supposed to ask if you're going to have a guest on board. It feels like college or something. And she goes, I sent the request a few weeks ago and you proved it. He goes, I don't recall that. And this is like a mystery, this whole episode, a slow mystery that I was even slower. So this would have been like a first clue that something is off, you know, other than the other clues, because Picard says, I didn't know. Must have been intercepted before it reached me. And then Crusher says, well, you emailed me back or it was an okay. And Picard said, it'd be prudent to find out if anybody else has their hand in this. Let's see. Then we're on the bridge. Data says this is this was good. Data says like there is no Dalen Quaise on Starbase 133. And Picard says, Beverly, you said he was there for 6 years. And Data says, not the computer doesn't say that. And according to Starfleet records, there's no Quaise, not even any Quaise. In fact, not in any, no, never even existed. And Dr. Kosher says, I interned with him on Delos 4. I've known him for 15 years. And then Data says, I don't doubt you, but I've tried 173 phonetic variations of his name. And Dr. Kosher is like, Quaise, Q-U-A-A-I-C-E. Your records are wrong. I thought that was hilarious. And she's like, he was on board. And then Picard says, someone has removed all, again, like, this is very, he goes, someone has removed all traces. So then they say, well, he flew, you know, he materialized on board, whatever they call that. Let's talk to O'Brien. And O'Brien's like, I don't remember. And then I put in parentheses, hey, what is going on? I had already seen the episode once. But I think that's like a good 10:45. Maybe somebody said that. Why do I have it in parentheses? But at 10:45, Crusher has kind of the sad, like awkward, confused look on her face. Then she's on the lift with the turbo lift with Riker. And Crusher's like, I don't think O'Brien was lying. And Riker goes, no. There's no trace of Dr. Quaise. That rhymes. They didn't rhyme in the episode. And she goes, well, I just didn't conjure him up. He's one of my best friends. And Riker seems suspicious, but he says, geez, if the ship's records are off, the transporter records would be off. That makes sense. And Crusher's like, well, maybe he was busy, but that's O'Brien's good at his job. And she goes, well, maybe I'll run a diagnostic on him. Riker says, to make sure he wasn't tampered with. Yeah, maybe give it a shot. I'll see if he's eaten. You know, if Quaise has been on board, he would have eaten something from one of the replicators. His Riker's just swift. Let's make sure O'Brien, okay, then they're at Med Bay with Chief O'Brien. And then Dr. Crusher says, Dr. Solar, Dr. Hill? And there's no Dr. Solar, Dr. Hill on board. And O'Brien has to sit through that. He's like, huh, I don't know what to say about this. She says, computer, where are they? And computer says, they don't exist. So then Dr. Crusher's meeting with, back with Picard. She goes, two of my doctors and four of their medical staff are missing, and they're not in the computer's memory. And Picard's like, were they friends with Dr. Quaise? And she said, no, they work on the ship. But my nurses and their family, I missed this the first three times I saw it, and their families don't remember them. And then Picard, also I want to say a big shout out to Picard and the writers, because Picard really stays steady in his, he does great acting to show that he's in some kind of conflict about this, but he always trusts his crew. So he's still going with it, you know, even though they never took the easy way out in this episode, even how the characters interacted with saying, well, geez, Dr. Crusher, you just, like their bodies in acting may have said, geez, Beverly, are you sure you're not imagining this? But no one ever said that. And that's really that would be lazy storytelling, which, that I specialize in. But I don't know, I just really respected that. And it just struck me. But she says, as Brett Picard says, Jesus, they're missing just like Dr. Quaise, nobody knows. And she goes, O'Brien checks out. And Picard, and he didn't laugh, but it would have been funny if he said, really? O'Brien checks out 100%. And then Wesley and Geordi say, well, geez, we kind of had this weird thing happen. Maybe you should come down here, Chief Picard. And then they start to go down. He says, I'm on my way. Then they stop at the bridge. They're like, number one, what's the progress? And he goes, no one's seen him. And he goes, Mr. Worf, check the shield in the hall. And Worf talks back. He goes, I've been closely monitoring everything. No indication. Picard says, what are you kidding me? Give me a level one diagnostic then. I liked that. Okay, check the hall. We have Worf talks back. And I want some answers. That's what Picard says. Then we're with Wesley. He's talking about Kaczynski's. This is an old episode that I have seen, like when I was prepping to make this series. And maybe we'll watch it at some point. He's talking about Kaczynski's formulas and just something kind of happening outside our space-time continuum. So there's lots of clues being toiled out here for the mystery, but no answers yet. Maybe Picard says that because it doesn't sound like something I would say. But they're talking about this strange warp bubble, like, you know, beyond our time-space continuum. That's what Wesley was up to. But Picard's still on board. He goes, this is our only working theory. That's our only working theory, this strange warp, not Beverly's mental health. So he says, let's keep working on it. Then we see an empty med bay with music, and then we're on the bridge, Riker, Picard, and Data. It's wild. Why'd I put that? WTF what? I mean, because what happens is Crusher comes in, she says, there's no one in sick bay. Apparently, I guess because just everyone's reaction is so, this was very Twilight Zone now. She goes, there's no staff in sick bay. And Riker says, and that surprises you, doctor? She says, surprises me. I'll say there should be 4 people on duty at all times. And Data totally data faced us. The ship's records do not concur, doctor. She says, what do you mean? He goes, you have no staff. And this is when it gets chilling, I guess, because she says, what do you mean? I'm the sole medical officer for 1,000 staff members. And Data is totally struck. He goes, there's only 230 people on board. And then Picard says, Dr. Crusher, maybe we should talk in private. He orders up Earl Grey tea hot. He says, geez, you want something, Beverly? Oh, wait, right before I forgot this. This one is double starred, so you should check it out. At 1555. Riker glares at Dr. Crusher and his eye twitches, double exclamation points. So that's worth checking out. So then Picard, orders Earl Grey, what does this say? Earl Grey hot. I think Dr. Crusher just sits there in shock. There's 2 neon slide rules, which I didn't understand. And Picard says, so Beverly, you're saying we're missing 800 people. And she goes, I know how it sounds. And he goes, there's nothing abnormal. And whatever Wesley was doing down there, that was it only affected the locally stuff. And she says, geez, Captain, my gut is telling me this isn't good. And he goes, I have no choice to believe you, you know, safety of the crew. But he goes, I got to be sure. And Crusher goes, what, of my mental health? She goes, I scanned myself, you know, my adrenaline's up. Like Picard's still like a Sherlock Holmes. Okay, well, what else could it be? You're the only one experiencing this. And she goes, well, I could talk to Troy, you know, Counselor Troy. He goes, well, it won't hurt. And then I really like this. She goes to leave, but then she turns back. She goes, Captain, please return this ship to Starbase 133 for a full diagnostic. I realize you only have my word, but you got to do it. And Picard says, trust her. He says, okay. He calls her. He says, Riker, head back to base. He says, your word has always been good enough for me. Then Beverly, so any more clues? I have no choice. Any more clues? No. I'll talk to Troy. Oh, then Med Bay, this strange portal opens up and tries to have Beverly come visit. And she has this WTF look on her face. Then there's a commercial. Then there's a crew meeting. Geordi says, geez, I don't know about this vortex Dr. Crusher saw. I mean, she's the one that thinks there's all these people on, you know. But Picard still really wants to get to the bottom of it. You know, he's not willing to give up. Then Data rolls in. He says, there's no malfunctions in all ships nearby. All their crews are accounted for. So there's nothing weird going on except right here, right around this seat. And Crusher says, how many people are on board anyway? And he says, all 114 people are here. And she says, what? And he goes, that's the exact number it should be. And she goes, this ship's almost empty. There's only 114 people on board a ship for 1,000. Like, all these rooms, why are they empty? And Data says transportation of colonists, diplomatic missions. And then the Crusher says, geez, let's monitor all the crew. That's when it starts, 451 right there. I'm just kidding. But they say, watch all the crew. This was very Twilight Zone. When they say 114, I was really feeling that, the tension, like I said, geez, because I did not, like, I did not know what was happening. Still, this is a wonder coming to a show like this new. So Picard puts the ship on red alert. Oh, because she says, geez, hey, can you have Worf do something? And Picard goes, Worf? And she goes, Worf, chief of security, the big guy that never smiles, to the Klingon. And then everyone has a reaction, like, Klingon, like this is gold. Then we have Troi and Crusher in the hall. Again, if this represents her subconscious, her ability to grapple with things and doubts, she says, Deanna, I gotta, like, can you tell me if I've, you know, if I'm having some sort of mental issue? And she goes, if you're asking me, then probably not. And she goes, don't evade the answer. And Troi says, well, then ask me a question I can answer. And she goes, well, I've delivered people's kids and, you know, no, like, you know, these are people I've worked with for a long time and no one, she goes, I can picture all these people that are missing. They're real. And if it's not the ship, then it's got to be me. And I want us to turn around. And Troi says, well, what if it is you? And she goes, well, then I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. And she goes, no, no, you are acting in the best interests of the ship and the crew. What more could you ask yourself? If it's a mistake, we'll just be a little late for something. It's not a big deal. And then she says, it's not a mistake. And then Troi says, well, you know, I'll have a full exam when we do get to a base. But, and then she starts to worry if Wesley's going to, and then she finds Wesley in engineering. Troi has this look after she says, Wesley, Wesley. And then he says, Mom, are you all right? But Wesley's look says it all. She goes, no. But Wesley goes, yeah, I already know. And she goes, you don't believe me. And she goes, we got to find someone to help. And he says, well, there's this alien from Tau Alpha C, the Traveler. And he used to, you know, he was the one that worked with the Kaczynski. And he doesn't live in all, he lives in more than one reality. And she goes, could you have made something that alters reality? And she goes, I don't know. And he goes, well, we have to find a way to find him. And they start to walk, but then Wesley's gone. She turns around. So she goes back to the bridge, and only this was cool. This was just so good. I mean, the show works on so many levels. I mean, I guess even if you wanted, like, I don't see why you would need to make fun of this show, because it's just so enjoyable. And like, she goes to the bridge, and Picard's just kicking it by himself. And he has his back to her. He turns around, and she just looks around. She kind of shudders. And gives a smile, like one of those smiles, like, holy cow. She goes, they're all gone. Riker, Troi, Data. And he goes, you know what, Doctor, I've been more than fair with you. You know, I've tried to work with you in your perceptions. And then we learn about Will Riker's dating profile. She says, Will Riker, your first officer, good at playing poker, loves to cook, likes jazz music, plays the trombone. Geez, holy cow. No wonder he's so smooth. And then Picard says, I find no evidence of Will Riker. And she goes, what about Data, the android that wants to be human and doesn't get jokes? He goes, don't worry, we'll be at Starbase soon. She goes, Troi, half betazoid, loves chocolate. Arrival of her mother makes you shudder. She goes, the whole breathing heart of this crew for 3 years. They deserve more than to be shrugged off, brushed aside, and pinched out of existence. They deserve so much more. And he says, maybe you should just stay at your quarters. And this was like around 25:30, just in case you want to see it. It's good. He says, Professor, you're combined to sick day. And she laughs. And she goes, what do you, like, why do you think we're just the only two people on a giant spaceship? She goes, this makes perfect sense to you? He goes, yeah, we've never needed a crew before. It's just the two of us cruising space for Starfleet. And she goes, you remember a traveler from, we got to get a hold of this traveler from Tau Alpha C. And Picard says, sure, you know, I'll make every effort to find him. And this is when what I open the show with. It's not a delusion. It's not a dream. There's a physical, measurable phenomenon at work here, which is true. Perhaps you could help me to identify. And she goes, well, let's just keep an eye on your heartbeat. And then she says, sorry, I lost your temper. I'm sure you remember it. And he goes, vividly. And she goes, Jean-Luc, I've been meaning to tell you. This is very, a little, and then he vanishes. I've been meaning to tell you this. I want to tell you. And he's out, O-U-T out, 2755. And she gets another great close-up of Hope leaving her face as it twitches. But she goes, I won't forget. I won't forget any of you. Then another vortex forms where they're trying to pull her in, the portal. And then this, for me, was a big reveal. Like, I didn't realize at this point, it's Wesley and Geordi on the other side of the vortex. And then the vortex fails. And they're like, I lost her. It's over. And then Geordi says, it's not over, Wesley. And then the traveler peers out of the mist. He says, don't worry, Wesley. There's still a way. And this was the big twist. I did not see what was coming. I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I guess I'm good that it's like I'm easily deceived. Also, the reason I've never mentioned the original Traveler episode, I couldn't put my finger on it. Maybe it was something about Kaczynski. It made me uncomfortable. But then they come back from an ad and they say, Picard says, and now the Traveler, a mysterious visitor from our past, has reappeared. And then they're having a meeting about her, and they say, what's going on with Beverly? Is she okay? He goes, as long as she thinks she's okay, she's okay. Riker uses hell every episode. He goes, what the hell does that mean? And he says, your species has a very narrow perceptions of time and space and thought. He goes, when she got caught in this warp bubble, she created her own reality. And he says, they say, can you get her back? He goes, no, but there is a way. I can help, but Wes, he goes, Wesley, there's a power within each of us. I thought I was going to use this for the opening that most people haven't even begun to realize. This is very, you know, Star Wars. But you have begun, or else I would not have known to come here now. Together we can open a gateway, but she must choose to walk through it. Then we got Crusher, who's really using the computer. She goes, okay, let's start with the assumption that I haven't, like she goes, that I'm not crazy. And she goes, read the whole crew roster. They say, just you. And she goes, am I the only crew always? And they say, yep. And she goes, if this was a bad dream, would you tell me? Says, it's not a valid question. She goes, like hell, it's not. And she's really the detective now. And she goes, what date did I get on board? And they said, 4/11/54. And she goes, okay, that at least that's right. And she goes, is there more than one USS Enterprise? She goes, this is the fifth one, but only one in service. And then she says, what is the mission of the Enterprise? Explore the galaxy. And she goes, does that make any sense? Computer goes, well, not really. And she goes, well, why am I the only crew member? And the computer says, that information's not available. And then she says, what about Tau Alpha C? Like, is there anybody like from Tau Alpha C around? They go, no. And then she says, how long to get there? 120 days, 23 days or something. She goes, set a course for Tau Alpha C and send a message telling him we're coming. Lay in a new course. And the computer says, okay. And she says, engage. And then it's like, what? And the computer says, she's a computer, why aren't you doing it? And the computer says, where? She goes, Tau Alpha C. They go, that doesn't exist. Then we have, I think, an ad because we have a captain's log. She stands at this total loss. Then the West and the Traveler are trying to create a staple bubble. They put holy family therapists. Let me see what that means. Oh, because just the subtext, they think because Wesley's a teen. The Traveler says, our goal will be to create a stable gateway between your reality and your mother's reality. Wesley goes, I've tried. We can't stabilize that link. And the Traveler, equations are only the first step. We're going beyond mathematics. And Wesley says, well, I don't know what to do. He says, well, let go of your guilt, Wesley. And Wesley goes, it's my fault. He goes, focus on the present. You have to be completely here to help your mother. Must open yourself to the time and space and the intricate threads that bind them. You know, trust yourself. Intricate threads. Close your eyes and see past the numbers. It can't when the, then we see the ship, no star base, not the people, everything. What does that mean? Crusher thought she should be at the star base, and then it's just a cloud. She goes, what is it? It goes, mass energy field, 705 feet in diameter. And she goes, around the ship, and yep. And she goes, if there's nothing wrong with me, maybe there's something wrong with the universe. I was like, holy ego. I mean, I always say that the reverse way. I say, well, there's nothing wrong with the universe. There must be something wrong with me. But that's also a sign of a huge ego. She goes, what is beyond the energy field? The computer says he can't tell. And she goes, what is the nature of the universe? And the computer basically says the energy field of 705 meters. But then we go back and we realize the bubble's collapsing through Wesley. Then Crusher says, show me what the universe looks like. It looks exactly like the warp bubble. She's like, oh, it's the bubble and I'm in it. And then they say, hull integrity compromised because the bubble's shrinking. Four minutes and 17 seconds. And then the traveler says, it's time, Wesley. I also put Wesley is very tan at this point. And he says, let it go, Wesley. And then Beverly's still on the case. She says, come on, Beverly. What was the next step? Dale and Quace. And she goes, my thoughts created this. And again, she has, I guess this is resiliency at work, really. She says, my thoughts created this and they'll get me out. 40-55 is all, like, just really good. She says, okay, that's when it started, and I just have to figure out again. And the computer says, I don't understand. She goes, I'm not talking to you. And then this just this cool scene. She goes, click my heels together three times, and I'm back in Kansas. Can it be that simple? And I realized she probably doesn't. Like, that was for the audience, but I just liked it. I think it was excellent how it was delivered. And then we see the traveler and Wesley are working and kind of phasing in and out while Picard watches. And then she says, like, computer, like, what do you think? She goes, hypothetical situation. Parents went away on a week's vacation, and a person's in a warp bubble. How would they get out? The computer says, well, it depends on a stable threshold between warp field and the outer environment, or subtextually between a mother and her son, like an umbilical cord, of emotional umbilical cord. And the computer says, I can't describe what that is within the threads of time and space. And she goes, theorize, how would it manifest itself? And she goes, Oedipalian or non-Oedipalian? And she goes, non-Oedipalian. And this is a dynamic atmospheric disturbance of great intensity. You know, they call it, like, I think they call it, what do they call it? Angst, I think is what they call it. And she goes, the angsty vortex, eh? She goes, now I just got to find this angsty vortex. And then they say, yeah, but it's got to be stable as an umbilical cord. Angsty, but stable. And she goes, oh, engineering. That's where they tried to do it. She tries to take the turbo lift, but it won't work because the ship's shrinking. So she says, just take me anywhere on deck 36. And then they're losing the bubble, but then Crusher shows up in engineering and the bubble's there and she just jumps right through it. And then Ricard says, Beverly. And she says, Jean-Luc. She sees the traveler. She goes, do I have you to thank for bringing me back? She hugs Jean-Luc first. And he goes, no. And then Wesley kind of gets up from the floor and he's all out of it. And they share a moment, mom and son. And she says, Jean-Luc, if I might ask, how many people are on board? And he goes, 1,014, including your guest, Dr. Quace. And he says, is there something? She said, Geordi says, there's something wrong with that? She goes, no, it's just as it should be. And then the episode ended, which is like interesting because it didn't end on like a meeting with Picard and anybody. Oh, also Wesley, when he got up from the floor from phasing in and out and saving his mom, also this would be super subtextual, he pulls his jacket shirt down just like Picard does. like very clearly. And I wouldn't. Oh, also, I had a little quibble, a tiny quibble. I said, isn't it with the traveler? Wouldn't it make it? Because they say 1014 with Dale and Quace. Exactly, it should be. I said, well, isn't it 1015? Doesn't the traveler count? No respect for the traveler with his three fingers. But and then that's the end of the episode. It was a good one. Now, just a couple of things came up. Bill Irwin was the actor that played Dale and Quace. I remembered him from somewhere. Ended up as from Seinfeld. He was also in a lot of different movies. John Hughes movies, too. I probably saw him in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. She's Having a Baby, Home Alone, Dennis the Menace, the third Naked Gun movie. So we could have seen him in one of those as well. He's been in, like, all the TV shows, a lot of Nick at Night style shows, Andy Griffith, Mr. Ed, Twilight Zone, Fugitive, Mannix, ER, Highway to Heaven, Who's the Boss, holy cow, Growing Pains. I've definitely seen him a lot. He was part of my childhood. I guess I didn't realize it. I spent more time watching Who's the Boss, Growing Pains, Full House, Golden Girls, Moonlighting. I didn't. Maybe that'll be a series we could do some episodes of, Moonlighting. And then Next Generation. And then yeah, he was this grouchy older foster grandfather in Seinfeld. And yeah, I think that's it for Bill Irwin. And then I was like, I thought Picard was using these pink slide rules. And then I said, I don't know what a slide rule is. And I'm like, yeah. A slide rule known in the U.S. is a mechanical analog computer for multiplication and division, but also exponents. Not for addition and subtraction. I don't know if I've used a slide rule. If I did, you know, I got it. I just like, I can take tests, so I could get a D on a test without doing anything. Don't follow this example, kids. So if there was like a slide rule related test in high school, I just took the test and I said, well, I could probably, well, I never passed math in high school. I'd take the test at the end of the year and pass that. But, it was developed by William Oughtred in the 17th century, based on logarithms by John Napier. And, you know, obviously, you know, as much as I love computers, I'm sure it did forge a way for computers. In its most basic form, this is all from Wikipedia, logarithmic scales to allow rapid multiplication and division. Well, there you go. I don't have any interest in doing that rapidly. You know, these could be time consuming and error prone when you do them on paper. And again, I think that said, I'm starting to get, you know, a little math anxiety talking too much about it. Then I asked the question, what is this stuff that the pink stuff on Picard's desk? And over at the Fleet Workshop, there's just a lot of good pictures from it. They did say, well, like, one single layer PADDS, and I think they were talking about getting them, like, where you could get them, and they show, like, from the whole series. I guess I don't understand, because then they show a couple of green ones, and then a bunch of different ones in different situations. But what is a PADDS? Well, we know what it is. It's a personal access display device, which we use every day, a lot of us. And this is where futurism gets good. I mean, like if you watch Next Generation, you really do see, like, iPads and iPhones, more or less. And so, you know, they were used, this is from Memory Alpha. Yeah, the PADDS, a personal access display device, used as early as the 22nd century. Wrong. I don't know what century. Are we in the 21st century? Yeah, so we're using it. So we're ahead of the game. Soon we'll be living in peace and prosperity. Anytime now. And it's a touch screen with a minimalist manual interface. Sometimes one or two buttons, variety of functions, and varying in size and space, you know, depending on if they're from the Earth or Federation, Klingon or Cardassian, you know, any of those. You know, and they really look cool. Like I said, some of these pictures on Memory Alpha, it's just very impressive. I don't know how they did the effects either. Small button located below the screen, but a large display screen. Trying to find the pads that I saw, which weren't display screens. They were just these pink things. It was like, it looked like a pink, neon pink translucent circuit board. So I don't know how you would read those ones. So I guess I do have to rely on the audience here to set me straight nicely. I'd prefer to be set straight nicely. There's a lot about Klingon, you know, a lot of these look like iPhones. People are FaceTiming. The pads depicted on Star Trek The Next Generation and onwards were conceived and designed by Rick Sternbach, who came up with the design in January 1987. And the vast majority of the variations following the first version, Sternbach noted the pad was initially scaled to be the size of a book with a larger, more comfortable screen than tricorders. And the internal isolinear circuitry was supposed to be many thousand of times more compact than the clipboard Kirk was used to signing. I always assumed pads to be a highly capable device, able to communicate with other devices. The fact that we don't have devices like it today doesn't surprise me in the least. They're all very cool, but I expect them to show up eventually. The only aspect about today's gadgets I didn't think I saw coming in 1987 was how multifunctional they'd become. So it is, he's talking about. So I misquoted him, sorry. But yeah, so that's the pad. Personal access. But again, I don't know if those pink things were pads. I saw people referring to them as pads, but I'm not sure they were, because they didn't seem to have a digital display. But people are looking at them, so I don't know. So that's it for tonight, and so good night, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boar Friends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't, like, automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season 1 part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size.
So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all my feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.